All those new aircraft ownership options. How do you decide? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Sam Miller, who has a company called SLM Incorporated in Arkansas. And Sam does analysis on different options for aircraft ownership, and you can either get a study from him or you can buy the software and do it yourself. Sam, thanks for taking a few minutes out to join us today.
Well, it's a pleasure.
I have to say, after having come back from the NBAA a couple of weeks ago and just reading and following the news in aircraft ownership options over the past couple of years, it seems as though some very sophisticated and nuanced forms of ownership are becoming available to pilots of small aircraft that used to be reserved for only the big business guys. Would that be a fair observation?
Well, it certainly appears that way. I think that the situations where you have joint ownerships and managed aircraft and fractional ownerships are becoming a lot more common.
I know back in the late 1960s, I recall from reading a historical article from an archive, you could buy a brand new Cessna 150 for about twice the cost of a Cadillac. Now we're to the point where, you know, that's become inflated to several times that for most of the single engine piston aircraft that everybody seems to want. Is that what's driving the availability of more complex ownership vehicles?
Well, I think so. It's become so expensive for an individual that, and in most situations, the individual doesn't have the demand for a high utilization, and therefore the cost to use it for the number of hours that he'd be flying it is a lot more than what it used to be. Anything that could help him reduce that cost and not affect his access on a tremendous basis is going to be a desirable characteristic. And I think that's what's happening with these new ownership programs.
One of the first things I think comes to the mind of most people who are pondering this, you know, shared aircraft thing is to find somebody they know and trust to be a partner in an aircraft. That may or may not always be the best deal, because it occurs to me that if you do that, you're probably finding someone who's going to want to use it pretty much the same times that you are. What are some of the other options that pilots should look at today if they want to get involved in a shared ownership?
Well, I think one of the most prevalent methods of getting involved in ownership is have a professional manager. That could be a local FBO, or it could be one of several of these nationwide type companies that are managing aircraft. But I think it's very difficult for individuals, two or three individuals, to get together and take the time to write up the rules on how the aircraft is going to be shared, how the expenses are going to be split, who's going to take the time to clean the airplane, take care of it, make sure that maintenance is done, et cetera, et cetera. Just the individuals working with each other are going to find it very difficult to lay out the ground rules for a successful relationship. I think that successful relationship could be provided by a good professional manager that provides the rules for how the aircraft will be used, how it will be maintained, how it will be shared. And I think probably those are the two biggest things that address what you're talking about there, shared versus having the aircraft managed by a professional, whether that aircraft is, you know, a business jet or comes down to one of the smaller single-engine aircraft.
I've heard it said, too, that the quickest way to have someone who's a friend become not a friend is to share an airplane with them. I think the personal relationship being separate from the business relationship may be one of the biggest, not often discussed, selling points of having a professional manager.
Well, and I think that's exactly true. In my experience, and I've been in the industry here 40 years, many times in the past I've run across people that wanted to share airplanes, as well as companies that wanted to share aircraft, and it just didn't work out because they didn't take the time to set out the ground rules of how their relationship was going to function.
I know that in the past, at least one local Part 141 flight school near me has utilized aircraft that were primarily leasebacks, which, you know, they got through private owners. Is that a common way to go anymore, or do people really need to look into some of the more complex alternatives?
Well, I think a leaseback arrangement is a fine arrangement. It's certainly a good arrangement for the flight school, and it could be a good arrangement for the individual that owns the aircraft. However, the big thing to watch in a leaseback situation is many times that creates a loss, and that loss is considered a passive loss unless you have the proper structure, legal structure. If it's a passive loss, then you're not able to write that off against normal income. You can only write it off against passive income. And that is a trap that catches many people thinking they're going into a leaseback situation and be able to write off the loss while being able to use the airplane at a cheaper rate. And that won't materialize because they're not able to take advantage of the tax benefits.
Now, this is where things get very interesting, because you can take a look at numbers in a fairly simple form. You could sit down with a yellow legal pad and a pencil and you know, straight edge yourself four columns and take a look at a couple of different options that way. When it starts getting into how it interrelates with a tax code, it seems to me that that's where software becomes really valuable. Tell us a little bit about how your software came about, first of all. How long have you been doing this?
I was one of the initial employees with the Citation Division when they started that in 1970. The Cessna hired me to develop the CESCOM system for the citations. And as a result, I got hung with developing the very first cost analysis program that was used by Cessna Citation to help present aircraft costs back in 1970. So I've been at it a while. I think to maybe clarify what you just said, though, software will calculate the tax advantages based upon a certain tax bracket. What you really need to be careful of there, Paul, is that that tax bracket and the total tax situation is applicable to your situation, and software won't do that. So it's very important in the leaseback situation that we were discussing on rental aircraft and the passive loss problem that you have an accountant look at the information that's provided in any cost program, including mine, that says that there's a certain tax benefit, because that may not exist because of your particular tax situation.
Okay. We're talking with Sam Miller, who prepares cost analysis for all different kinds of aircraft, and also will provide you with software that will do it if you have the need to do that over and over. And we'll be back to talk more about this in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. Talking today with Sam Miller of SLM Incorporated in Arkansas. Sam's company has a long history in cost analysis for aircraft, and he has software available that will do it for you. Or if you have an individual case you wanted to study, he can do that for you without having to actually buy the software. Sam, welcome back. Tell me a little bit about who uses your program. Do you find it being more the big guys or the business guys, or do a lot of people actually call on you to do a cost analysis when they're buying, say, a Cirrus SR-22?
Probably most of the business is selling the program to individuals that have an aviation interest and want to do the cost analysis themselves from the standpoint of the smaller aircraft. The larger airplanes and corporate flight departments, a lot of times they don't have the time to do it themselves and would like somebody that does it every day to do their cost analysis. So most of the individual analysis that I do are done for larger corporations and in many cases involve a fleet of airplanes. The customer varies from sales organizations, FBOs, flight schools, anyone that's trying to operate an airplane for a profit, firefighting operations, air ambulance operations, agricultural operations, charter operators, and then aircraft managers that are trying to present what it costs for an individual to purchase an airplane and put it under their management and possibly even let that manager use the airplane as a charter airplane when they aren't flying and recover some revenue on that basis and share that revenue with the owner of the aircraft.
Now, some of these models you're describing, some of these ownership models, produce a very complicated set of analyses. You say you've been doing this since 1970. I would have to think that the growing sophistication in the capability of computers has revolutionized what you do. Back in 1970, when you were doing this for Cessna, was this even on computer? Were you using a PDP-8L or a slide rule, or how did that work?
Well, it was a lot different than today. The program that we set up was running on an IBM 360, and it required punch cards. And gosh, you were doing a miracle if you could get your cost analysis turned around in a matter of a week. So that has really changed, and it was available only on the big wide paper printouts, and it had to be copied to 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. So the computers have really changed this. I think that the main thing they have changed is the ability to change the numbers one at a time and see what impact that has on either cost or revenue, whether you're looking at it at the expenses of the aircraft or trying to make a profit with the airplane.
Well, these new spreadsheet software packages, I think the one that first got everybody's attention, and for many people, spelled the beginning of the computer age as we know it, was a program called VisiCalc back in the late 1970s. But now Microsoft Excel is the basis for a lot of the work you do. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody do as much with Excel as you have done. These things behave like custom-written applications in some ways. How did you get to the point where you were that skilled with that particular piece of software?
Well, it's interesting. The very first spreadsheet program that I purchased was VisiCalc, and it was in the early 80s when I purchased that, and I think it was about 1981. And then the Macintosh came out. I believe it was around 1984, and it came out with Excel, which was the spreadsheet for the Macintosh at that time, and was not even available on a PC. Mm-hmm. And I started, at that time I was president of the Little Rock Air Center, and we were trying to make a profit on flight line airplanes and charters and leasebacks. And so I started trying to develop a program, a spreadsheet in Excel using the Mac, and have just gradually kept going. In fact, the program that I have today really got started back then, and I just kept adding to it, and finally, back in 2000, realized that, gosh, I mean, I've put so much effort in this program that I ought to be selling it.
Well, and it's amazing what you've been able to do with this, too, because, for example, I watched a 12-minute video that was generated from, I guess, from within Excel. How is that tutorial that tells how to use the program created?
It's just using Excel and recording it in the Windows Media Player. But Excel is such a powerful program that most people don't realize what you can do with it. In fact, I probably don't even know 5% of the program myself. So it's a very powerful spreadsheet program. I think one of the main things that I tried to do with this program is concentrate on the user being able to just put in his input and not have to worry about how the reports are produced. So the whole idea of the program is concentrate on your input, put the type of analysis that you want, put all the cost figures, the revenue figures in for that particular type analysis, and then the report is produced automatically.
Let me ask you what I'll be kind of a final question here. Do you think that someone who's contemplating the purchase of, say, a small high-performance aircraft, something, you know, single-engine piston high-performance aircraft, a Cirrus or a Columbia, are they likely to be surprised on the downside or the upside cost-wise of what they thought it would cost them?
Oh, I think that would vary from individual to individual. They're so expensive for most, the way most people think, that I think it's really a good exercise to go through what is this going to cost me, mm-hmm. and versus just going out and doing it. Of course, I guess the scary part of that is if we did that on our car, we'd probably all be buying bus tickets, because if you compare the cost of riding a bus on an unlimited ticket, annual ticket, against operating your car, geez, how many of us would own a car? That same situation might apply to the airplanes, but I think for some reason it's caught on with the cars, and we don't give it a second thought going to the car dealer and buying a car, and we probably, most of us, have built a building to hold our car.
Yes, I guess that what I'm hearing you say is that actually the what some people would call sticker shock on the price of a new aircraft, other people would blissfully say, that's fine, just don't tell me what it really is going to cost.
Well, and what is it providing you in the way of features and benefits, and what value do you place on those?
Right.
And I think that's what varies so much between individuals.
Well, and that's probably something that a computer can't analyze for you in every case. But for those things the computer can analyze, we'd like to direct our listeners to www.aircraftcostanalysis.com, where you can get a sample of what Sam's program can do and where it might be of benefit to you in your contemplated ownership of an aircraft. Sam, we really appreciate you bringing this software to our attention. You've done a great job, and we wish you success, and we may call on you in the future. We have questions that you might be just the guy to answer.
Okay, well, I really enjoyed being on this program, and hope that that my announcing capabilities won't put you to shame here.
Oh, well, I know we couldn't afford to hire you anyway, Sam, so I don't think that'll happen.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, look us up at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.